Once again, Lord, we ask that you light your candle within our vessel and through it administer sufficient illumination to guide our path into the course of destiny. In Jesus' mighty name. That is my friend. He came with so much fire from the city of Jaws. Please welcome Apostle Joshua Abila. Welcome him properly. During the time of my meditation and study today, I was still looking diligently at the life of Isaac to see what God heed in his life. That will be a continuation of our Bible study. Then the Holy Ghost quickened me. And it's a subject of the quickening of the Holy Ghost that I want to present to us. If the body lives, anytime it lives, I will go back to Isaac. Now, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he raised a man, even Moses. And Moses was the image of an administrative system that he put in their midst to ensure that every one of the people of God, they are led into their corporate destiny. You know, when they came out of Egypt, they did not have a military to defend them in the case of an ambushment. They did not have a health system. There was no social security system. Moses was that entity that God used to set up the pillars of that nation. And the Bible reveals that it was Moses himself that prophesied that the time was going to come when God will raise a prophet like unto him. And he was actually making reference to the ministry of Christ. And the same way they looked to Moses for the supply of everything that was required on their journey, in the New Testament system, we are supposed to look to Jesus. Part of what Jesus did in the book of Acts chapter 1 was to begin to set up systems by which the apostles were going to administer the household of God. So in my study, I found a few things which I need to bring to our notice. Are you still with me? So in Acts chapter 1, Jesus was educating his apostles and trying to bring them into the full knowledge of the scope of the enterprise of the labors of God. And by the time we begin to see the implementation of the things that Jesus taught them, then we'll begin to understand the scope of the lecture that they received. Because everything they did in the book of Acts was consistent with capacity building that Jesus had made available to them. Are you still with me? Now, the first thing I'd like to show you is from Acts chapter 1, verse 15. A few things that was a direct result of the training that Jesus gave them. If I exhaust this body, the next time I'm standing here, I will continue from Isaac. Is that clear? He moved on my spirit. He moved on my spirit. Now, this is one of the things that was the result of the training that they received. In Acts chapter 1, just like I said, Jesus began a training, and the training lasted for 40 days. It was in that training that Jesus told them that God does not just want to conquer the world. There was a pattern that God wanted to use in conquering the world that will give him glory. It was in that discourse that Jesus said that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in what? And then in... So Jesus did not only say that when the fire comes, then there will be a revival. He also revealed how the progression of the revival should go. It will begin from Jerusalem. It will go to Judea. It will invade Samaria before it invades the other parts of the earth. If you check the line of that revival, having Jerusalem as the launching pad, do you see any problem there? There's a problem. Okay, I've not seen it. There's a huge problem there. Because you cannot begin a revival in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the home of Judaism. Judaism is the oldest religion on earth that survived. It's the oldest. Every other thing that people did was they had appearances of demons. Judaism is ancient. In fact, I can take you to a certain scripture in the New Testament in the book of Acts chapter 26. That time that, what's his name? Paul fell because Jesus encountered him. Jesus actually spoke to Paul in Hebrew. Oh, you don't believe that? All right, let me show you that. I know you don't believe. Begin to love your Bible. When you love it, you will find many things. Go to Acts chapter 26. Let me show you something. Acts what? 26. Verse 14. Acts 26, 14. It says, and when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. I don't want to press on it. Let me leave it there. I won't press on that. Meanwhile, so I'm trying to show you how, secondly, you know, when God called Abraham, there were only 69 languages on earth. God called him. And those 69 tribes, those 69 languages, had submitted to Nimrod. So Satan's champion on earth was Nimrod. And then God now called Abraham from all the Chaldees. And Abraham became the first Hebrew. So it means Satan had 69 tribes. And how do I know that there were 69? Go and count in the book of Genesis. Count, you will find out there were 69 tribes. God called Abraham out of all the Chaldees, and Abraham became the Hebrew. It means that Satan had 69 tribes to work with. God had one tribe to work with. The story of Genesis is how one tribe became master of 69 tribes. Are you with me? So let me leave it there. Whenever we are ready, we'll start that study. The study that will make us touch Acts chapter 26, verse 14. When Moses came to Pharaoh, one of the things he told Pharaoh was that the God of the Hebrews. So Judaism is ancient, it's old. And then you say you want to orchestrate a move and you want converts from Judaism. People don't convert from Judaism. So it would have been easier to orchestrate this revival in Samaria. But Jesus did not only say, okay, let's invade the world. He prescribed how the fire should progress. And he said, in what he said, what will make God pleased is that it begins from Jerusalem. It was in that lecture that he told them the trend, the pattern of the move of God that will give glory to God. That's a difficulty. That's an extra difficulty. But you see, the reason why it is not difficult from God's perspective is because Jesus knew a few things about the power of God that we do not know. The only thing that God makes available that he's expecting that we can prosecute that kind of ministry is that we will receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon us. It means that even if Jews see power, they can be converted. That's what Jesus. The second thing that we need to see from that scripture is that God releases the anointing. And for every strand of the anointing that God makes available, there is a territory that is in view that God wants to conquer. So anointing is territory sensitive. If you study your Bible, you find some prophets, the anointing of them only made them prophets to Israel. If you take them outside of the coast of Israel, they will not be able to prophesy. There were only a few prophets in the Old Testament that were international prophets that could prophesy in Israel and prophesy outside of Israel. Because this anointing we're talking about has territory in view. It's a deposit from God that is territory sensitive. It was in the lecture that Jesus said all these things. But what I want us to see is the result of the lecture. Because we were not present in the lecture, but we can see the effect of the lecture. And then it will give us an idea of the things that Jesus taught them during his time with them for 40 days, where he unveiled the template and the blueprint of how this global enterprise that was intended to begin in Jerusalem was going to affect the ends of the earth. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
The first thing that I see that they did after they received the lecture is in the scripture I said you should open. Acts chapter 1, verse 15. And in those days, lecture has finished though. This is implementation now. Are you with me? This is implementation and the lecture has finished. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names were about 120. This is in bracket. You are not with me. Now, one of the things we need to pray for probably this night is that when you study the Bible, may God help you to be seeing what you are studying. Let it come to you like a vision. One of the reasons why the Bible looks flat to you, you don't see it. Now, this is what is written. Are you there? Don't go to 16 years. See, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, then in bracket, they said the number of the names together were about what? 120. He didn't say the number of the people. What did he say? The number of the names. The arrangement here looks like a roll call. Maybe when you enter, they say, his brother Joshua there. Yeah. And this certain day, it was the number of the names. You are not with me. The people that Jesus told to wait for him in Jerusalem for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them, there were 500. So that duty roster, that, what do they call that thing in primary school? When you come, they say, that register contained 500 names. But the number of the names that were present at this time, it means there were people that stopped coming. And the reason why they stopped coming was because Jesus was no longer in their midst. So the thing didn't look real. Meanwhile, it was Jesus that said, you guys wait for me. You guys tarry until you are endued with power from on high. When they began to tarry, the number began to reduce. And on this day, the names that were present in the dossier, there were how many? You are not following. Do you know that if great things want to happen, God, just like Gideon was given the mandate to gather and muster an army that will march under the flag of God, when that day comes, when God needs an army in the earth, there will be screening. God will raise the standard. And when he raises the standard, it is going to be discouraging to people that don't have the heart to follow. You're not with me. You know, the other day I told you that a young man came to me and said, God of heaven, the God of our ancestors, has revealed to him that he should follow me. Then I held his hand and I said, Father, the man you sent, I've received him. Hallelujah. A few days from that time, he now sent me a text that he needs house rent. So I now called him. I said, as you see me now, I don't even like you. You know why I did that? It's deliberate. I want to distract him. I want to be a problem to that thing he said he heard. And if it is true that he heard it, even if I'm a distraction, he will still be following it. You are not with me. When I tested him, I found out God didn't speak to him. You know, these days we don't accept. Just, hey, Jehovah. You'll be recovering from the Federal Medical Center from poison, food poison. That's when you will know that God had no hand in that matter. So I told him, I don't even like you the way you are. I don't like you. But you said God sent you, so I had to accept against my will. Accept. So may the God that sent you, may he provide for this your journey, because it's a long one. So when I became an obstacle to him, the journey ended. And the reason why the journey could end because he was not convinced about what he said God had told. When you find some people, they look sincere, but they are not making progress. Go to them and say, stop fasting. What instruction did God give you that you refuse to follow? Because in that instruction that God gave you, Everything about your life within that phase have been built into your compliance. There were 500 people that Jesus gave the mandate, tarry. But as at this day, when the roll call was named, not even up to half, it means that the numbers were dwindling. People no longer had confidence in the fact that he said he was going to come. And we had only 120 names that were retrieved from the dossier that were present in the prayer meeting. Think about it. In true revival, not everybody that is saying revival is going to be in that sovereign move of God. Because God is going to raise the standard to ensure that people whose heart are not glued on that which he wants to do will find a reason to be distracted from the instruction that God has given. There is a brother, I don't know if he's here today. When we started this ministry, he was very enthusiastic. If they are looking for an usher, he's an usher. They are looking for someone that will do praise and worship. He is multi-gifted, multi-talented, and he was hopping here and there. Right? When we now started laboring in fasting and prayer, after 1 year of fasting and prayer, then the second year, the fasting and prayer was still continuing. He looked back to see the result of the fasting and prayer. So he must have weighed his life, must have considered himself. That if it is, I'm going to be operating for life. What hope do I have? And his thinking was legitimate. Because anyone that is not infected by faith cannot go through process. If faith has not infected you like a plague, like a disease, the devil speaking the language of logic can make you doubt the result of the process. Jesus, it was the Messiah himself that said, tarry, wait for me in Jerusalem. But at this time, when the roll call was taken, we only had, what? 120. I went for service in the city of Kano, and we had a fellowship. So when I came there, I saw what was going on. I was fellowshipping there, sitting at the back. So one day they now said, this copper that is in our midst, let him take the Bible study today. So I now came. Meanwhile, the fellowship was Orthodox. The founder was an Ekwa man. So nothing like speaking in tongues, nothing like. So the Bible study I did was to show how that after salvation, God wants to empower you so that you can serve him. And the empowerment is Holy Ghost baptism with the evidence. I did the Bible study and it was clear to everybody that that was the direction. Then on Friday prayer meeting, they say, let's give the copper. So when they now gave me the opportunity to minister, meanwhile, the reason why I'm ministering is because the teacher, the real teacher, traveled to Abuja for something. So I did a teaching on Wednesday. And on Friday, I now told them, we'll do the practical of that teaching. Because I told them the basis of Holy Ghost baptism. The basis of Holy Ghost baptism is that Jesus right now is exalted. If Jesus is exalted, then it means that the Spirit is poured out. Every time Jesus is exalted, the Spirit is poured out. You know, in the book of John chapter 7, when the Bible says that the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So the requirement for the Spirit of God to be given is that Jesus had to be glorified and offered a heavenly ministry, which was the office of the Christ, an administrative position in the Spirit. If that takes place, it will fulfill the requirement for the Holy Ghost to be what? Given. So I showed them all the back end of Acts chapter 1 and what it takes, what administrative reality ought to be in place before the Holy Spirit can be released. And when they saw it graphically, everybody was willing to receive the Holy Ghost. But the opportunity was not there because that one was Bible study. So, on Friday, the prayer man now stepped down and said, no. This copper has begun. And he went home to check the scriptures and he found out that this is a necessity in this fellowship. So, even though it is a departure from what they are used to. Because we could prove it in the Bible, everybody was ready. If it is true, let's open our hearts to it. Came on Friday. And when I came on Friday, I did a short 20 minutes teaching on the steps to receive Holy Ghost baptism. And my text was Acts chapter 2. Then I showed the congregation the responsibility of God in the process. And I showed the congregation the responsibility of man in the process. So everybody knew God's responsibility. For instance, they were asking for the Holy Ghost. Jesus taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? So you must begin by asking. When you ask, the Bible has already revealed to us what the answer will be. He will give the Holy Ghost to them that ask. So it's your responsibility to ask. It is God's responsibility to give. It's your responsibility to receive. It's God's responsibility to give you utterance. It's your own responsibility to speak. So that was the lecture I did. A short lecture on your part and His part. And when we finished this, I made them repeat their responsibility. Made them repeat God's responsibility. And then we now came back to God and said, Lord, we have finished the teaching. I didn't finish the prayer when people started speaking in tongues. I was still on the pulpit doing something like prayer, and the Holy Ghost was falling on the congregation. Only very few people were left that we had to lay hands on them to receive. In fact, that day, somebody in the choir received the Holy Ghost and was slain, and they almost arrested me with police. That now that the person is in this state, I should come and do what we restored him. I mean police. It's police barrack, so everybody there is police. Everybody is police. So if anything goes wrong in police barrack, you understand what? There's police there. There's no scarcity of policemen in the environment. So the challenge now was to revive, because all those people are equal people. This dimension I was bringing was contrary to what the people were used to. So I now had to, I came. The lady will breathe. It was later that I found out she was possessed. I didn't know then. She will breathe. Then she will stop breathing for some time. Then the breath will come again. It will go. And I told God, I said, God, it's your will I was doing. I don't know this dimension. I don't know this dimension. And the Lord showed mercy and she revived. That was how I was released. Hallelujah. And it came to pass that when the teacher that I represented came back from Abuja, he left an Orthodox fellowship and came back and met what? A Pentecost. You are not with me. Everybody was. In fact, this police threat was still there, because when they went home in the night, some of them do devotion on the altar, and then their children started speaking in tongues. Then when they finished speaking, they asked them, where did you get this language? They say, it's one copper that came that taught them this language. So I was the one that taught them the language. It was as funny as what I'm telling you is, some people stopped coming to the fellowship, because whenever the move of God starts, the roster, the names will reduce. The names. The teacher came back from Abuja and met a Pentecostal fellowship. And that was where all my challenges began, in that fellowship. Because I was pushing for revival, and some other things were happening. Some other things were taking place, but we were pushing for revival. And anytime God begins to move, and there's a promise that God will come, and there is an assurance that God will come. Check the numbers. So what happened to these guys was that they had a promise, but before the time of the promise came, the numbers began to dwindle because God has raised the standard. He wanted everybody to be part of the process so that they will cherish what they will receive at the end of the tunnel. Next verse. Are you with me? This is Peter. While the prayer meeting was going on, suddenly the Bible reveals that Peter stood up. It was a general pool prayer. Everybody was praying. And the prayer point was already given by Jesus, that everyone should go and be asking for the Holy Ghost. And they should not leave Jerusalem. Even though some of them are from Judea, some of them are from Galilee. He said they should not leave Jerusalem until that promise is released. So while they were doing the prayer, for most of them, most of the people that were part of this prayer, most of them were not staying in Jerusalem. So there are many other factors that were responsible for the people that stopped coming. Because if you have 120 people, you have an issue of feeding. So they were not actually feeding. It was a 10-day fast. And it was an all-encompassing fast. And as the fast began to gravitate, the numbers of the people that were laboring. How many of you have been on a fasting? A whole church said they want to fast. That's when you will see the whole vault of the choir members is empty. So they were not worrying about who has eaten and who has not. There was no food, no food arrangement, because they were not from Jerusalem. It was fasting. And every morning, because there was a custom of escaping, every morning they take roll call. And on this day that was captured, it was how many people? The names, not the number, but the names was 120. So Peter now stood up. He wants to begin to implement the things that Jesus taught them in the seminar for 40 days when he appeared to teach them. Let us see the first item. I'm going to show you some of the items that happen. That is, this is the burden I have. This is what I believe Jesus is saying this night. Even though we have a series going, you know, he can interrupt us and do what he wants. Then when he finishes, he can allow us, okay, that's your thing, you will see. We can continue. But this is where Jesus is today. Peter says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled. You see, there was a sense of urgency on this man's spirit. All right? And he said, this scripture must needs be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Are you here? So this man had an impression from the Holy Ghost that there is a scripture that must be fulfilled. That was how he stopped the prayer. The prayer was still laboring. Everybody had his different corner and they were praying. Everybody had his different preferred position and they were praying and imploring in prayer. And then suddenly Peter stopped. So there is a scripture that must be fulfilled. This scripture was spoken by David concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Next verse. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. Now, this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known to all the dwellers at Jerusalem, in so much that the field is called in their proper tongue Akaldema. Not in English language, the local language. The name of the field. They gave the field a name in the local dialect. Because of how popular that issue became in the city. They called the field what?
Akeldama.
So all the dwellers of Jerusalem, this news was making the rounds for weeks, for months, that they had to shorten the news by giving the field a name in the local dialect. So if you want to tell the story, you come and say, have you heard of Akeldama? If the person is current, the person say, is it not that field? So the story sold so much that they had to employ the ancient language to cap the name of the field, which is what? The field of blood. Are you seeing what's happening? Because this story was becoming popular in the terrain, Peter felt that something must be done about the status of who? Of Judas, because he had a part in the apostolic ministry. Now, I would like you to see the urgency with which this directive that came to the spirit of this man, the urgency with which he felt it needs to be done now. I'd like you to feel it in his words. You still remember what he said? All right. So this one is the social background of the reality that it was a popular thing. So much so that the field was called in the native dialect Akeldama, which is the field of blood. Okay, next verse. So I am telling you that, are you here? I'm telling you that in a situation when God wants to birth a revival, part of what is going to happen is replacement. People that were champion microphone people, that were in the forefront of the activities of the gospel in several cities, they will be called Akeldama. And there will be an urgency from the Spirit to replace them with other people. There will be an urgency in many cities to replace men. To replace men. I called my friend in Lagos. He's a prophet, a notable prophet. And if I call a man a prophet, if I call him, believe. I know you believe me, so no need for us to stress. The person I'm talking about is a prophet. He called me and said, the last encounter that Jesus gave him revealed that God is concluding and sealing up the ministers that will continue the work of God. That means some have concluded and then others will continue. And all of that will be accomplished in this month of September. The cycle is complete. That's what my friend told me. That's what my friend told me. And I've had my own encounters. I've had my own visions. So part of what happens when God wants to do revival is that there's a scripture that must be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Go forward. Let me strike my point and then I will bring you to the point of prayer. Wherefore, it seems you have jumped one scripture. Because the scripture that the man feels impressed by the Holy Ghost that it must be fulfilled, we have not seen the scripture. This is the scripture. So if God pressed this scripture on the heart of that man, it means it's a directive from heaven. This is a directive. So anytime there is going to be a move of God, this scripture must be fulfilled. And what is the scripture? For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. Let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. You see, I need to explain this scripture a little. You still remember those days in primary school, when you come to school, the teacher is going to take a register. You used to remember what a register is? By 8:30. By 8, you can still be coming with and drawing your bag on the ground like. You are even wondering why they woke you so early. So you are angry with everybody and your bag is. You know, my wife runs a school, so I will wake up and I will look at the way they just draw the bag. By 8:30, the teacher will begin to call the names. If you are there, you say present. If you have been a teacher before ever, the way you indicate present is that you draw a line like this. Draw a line like that. Have you been in there? That's present. And then when you say Silas and there's no response, you know how they write it? That's absent. Do you know what that means? You don't know what it means. Let me explain to you. What it means is no one else can take the place of Silas. That place in that book is for Silas. If Silas is not there, there will be an indication that someone was supposed to be here, but he is what? He is what? Absent. You are not getting me. When God created you and you were born into this world, the next thing he created was your habitation. All right? The next thing God created was your habitation in the eternities. And what God is saying about Judas is that the way his habitation is, it will be desolate. That's in the eternities. So if we come to his habitation, you will know that someone was supposed to be here. No one else can take it because it was designed exclusively for him. No one else can take his habitation. That's number one. But someone else can take his ministry. So which one is more important? Which one is more? Your ministry can be transferred. Even in marriage, if one of the spouses die, the person can mourn, but that vacancy can be filled. Are you with me? But your habitation will be vacant. Then when they call your name Silas in the eternities, and if Silas is empty, his habitation will be desolate. You will know that this was designed for a man, but the man is not here. Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. I want the thing to enter you first. His bishopric, which is his ministry, is all of that. Someone else can take it. The position of his wife that slept. When he wakes up for morning, it might be 5 years. He can look upon another damsel and feel he can continue with this one. His service, another can enter. But his habitation will remain what? Desolate. Do you know why this scripture was of essence? Do you still remember that there was a register, a roster in the beginning? And the names were about 120. You know how it will look like in a register? Then concerning Judas, he said, let his habitation be desolate. Let no man dwell therein, but his bishop transfer it.
There are things that are designed for you alone.
This is one of the scriptures that will not make me look on a woman's breast. You know why? If you are not present, it will be obvious that someone was supposed to be. This is the burden I came with. Someone was what? Was supposed to be. I want to pray tonight briefly. Because there are two levels of being absent that was captured in that scripture. Are you here? The first level is being absent from the move of God. Are you following? Some people were absent in the register that was read out in the congregation. People were absent from the move of God. And the number of people began to dwindle because of the rigor that was required to enter into the economy of that which God was offering. That was one area of loss. Then there was another level of loss, and that one affected only one man. People were displaced from the move of God. The excellent beauty of the glory of God that they were supposed to carry in bearing witness from territory to territory, they lost it. But there was a loss that was more grievous than the loss of thrones and the loss of crowns. It was a loss of a habitation. Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his vision, let another take. We want to end this service with a few minutes of prayer, about 20 minutes or 30 minutes of prayer. The burden I had today when I was with the Lord is, may no man take my place. The impact of the loss that heaven had about Judas was grievous, such that the place where his bowels burst out, they gave it a local name, a Kaldem. That means he caused environmental pollution. His life became an object of storytelling within the city. And more grievously than the way he died was the case of his habitation. Let no man take my place. I will not miss out of the move of God. I will not be absent when the duty roster is called, when the people that are present to attend to their altar, when their names are called, I will not be absent. And above all, my habitation will not be desolate. Jesus alama kailo moho. Resco fella mina seke la branta baboria. Eskito bronde kabaka bokoskita mantala baboria. Skibasote. The names of many men will be erased. The names of many men will be blotted out and removed. May no man take my place. Seiko perima yaka konde masatelia masata baboroko sikabala tame
Escocese manta babuna cabela. Let his habitation be desolate. Let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric, his leadership in the body of Christ, his ministry, his anointing, his mantle, his authority in the spirit, let another man take it. It's the story of a great loss in the spirit. Amen. No, no, soko ye bariata. And too many years. Ruke balantala. Eso se mandako prescobela mi. Yemose ki abokete. Yeka bobose. Mante kubakuda. Eso mina ila kobela. Let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric. His bishopric. His bishopric. His bishopric. His ministry of oversight. Let another man take. Korea Messi Cabranta Babodo Coselli Macadie Yeborondo Cosama Laita Sama Laite Mokoria Mamana Bacon Yacosali Rescote Macante Baboria Malasco Cecila Hico Batua Laico Pele Massalabo Rokesa yiko presko temina katia yakabela kantenia. And his peace of break. Let another man take. Biko boroboroboroboro seti kopreske palamanda. Mayako sen hembroke manasan. I will not be absent. 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 Let his habitation be desolate. Let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric. Let another man take. No one else can sing your song. No one else can pray your prayer. So you cannot be absent. You cannot be absent. Yama Boselia Macatebo Abre celeste, Adriana.